It indeed is a wonderful celebration to know that God is providing all that we need in our lives. And he has a plan, and that's a wonderful plan he has made for us. Our sermon lesson today is from Romans, the 14th chapter. This is a wonderful scripture, one that's often quoted, starting at the the seventh verse. This is the word of God. For none of us lives to himself alone, and none of us dies to himself alone. If we live, we live to the Lord. If we die, we die to the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. For this very reason, Christ died and returned to life so that he might be the Lord of both the dead and the living. You then, why do you judge your brother? Or why do you look down on your brother? For we will all stand before God's judgment seat. It is written, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow before me, every tongue will confess to God. So then each of us will give an account of himself to God. Therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your minds not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in your brother's way. As one who is in the Lord Jesus, I am fully convinced that no food is unclean in itself, but if anyone regards anything as unclean, then for him it is unclean. Let us pray. Dear Lord, help us to see this word and understand, indeed, that we are called to a holy plan of salvation. And this plan of salvation, it starts with bended knee. It starts with humble heart. And let us know that it lifts us up in ways we can never imagine to a heaven that is being prepared and for a heart that is being prepared. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. It's been quite a week. We've had lots of things going on. I tell you the truth, I've gotten more feedback from that sermon last Sunday than any I've ever preached here. And I can, just like I said, I don't know if I can do this 2 weeks in a row. That's like asking somebody who's a baseball player to hit maybe a grand slam twice. And I'm not Babe Ruth, and I can't call my shots over whichever field that I can hit the ball. But this isn't about that. This isn't about one's pride, or hubris is another word for that. This is about the living word of God. And today we're going to hear about a plan God has for our lives. He has a plan. There is a plan. That was something that I look back and I think about just the life that God has made for me. And his plan has won out, not mine. Because my plan, as I've shared with you before, was to become a tank driver in Germany, to join the U.S. Army and drive a tank, but that didn't quite work out. Instead, God made it clear that his plan was going to be the proper way. Now, the plan starts with the understanding that we are not alone. Now, the world's telling us we are alone. You're able to do it yourself. This is about me and self, but in reality, we need each other. We have to have each other. We're social creatures. We're social in the way we deal with each other. So social people, they gather, well, together. That's how we are able to form our identity. When I was at the ball game the other night, I noticed that with the young people, they gather in groups and they walk in groups. And I thought back to when I was in school and how I had a group. There were different ones in the group. There was always the character, the jokester. There was always the alpha male, the leader. There was always the beta males, the ones who followed the alpha. Then there was the rogue or the rebel, who was me. And these groups all have their characters that each one, they kind of play with. The jokester is always, finding a joke or finding a way to make the group laugh. The rebel's always looking for another way out and telling the group, we need to look at it another way. And the alpha male is always saying, it's my way or no way. And then all the beta males are saying, well, we're going to follow the alpha male. See, that's an old model of a group. In fact, at Harnett Central, we had a water fountain that we claimed, and we wouldn't let anybody drink from it unless they were part of our group. Now, that's a sin. I know that now. But back then, I thought it was just part of being the group. I didn't realize that denying those little freshmen, water was certainly wrong. But at the time, it was just part of the group. Now, when I went to college, as some of you have been, and some of you even been to the college I went to, we had groups in the college. You had the baseball players and the soccer players, you had the tennis players, and you had the academics, the biology lab, different groups. Well, we're naturally a people who come together. We're not apart. One of the lies that's been told about spirituality in the past 20 years especially is people say you can have God and you don't really need the church. You heard somebody say that? They say it. They say, I can experience God when I'm out there on the water or when I'm in the woods or I'm at the game or I'm doing this or I'm doing that. And somehow they've been leading people to think that we are not a social people, but Christians are the ones who invented koinonia. That's the Greek word for group. In fact, that was the name of our spiritual group at Methodist, was called Koinonia. And a lot of the group ended up being preachers and teachers and different ones to help. See, the common bond we have is we love being together. And that's what this scripture is making clear. None of us was born alone and none of us will die alone. Now somebody will say, well, we don't know that. The truth is, no matter who you are, no matter how much you pretend to be, you are connected, and what you do has a direct impact on those that are around you, especially the ones that love you most. And I've come to the conclusion that parenthood is a great celebration, but parenthood can break your heart. It can hurt because you love somebody, and that connection is tethered together in such a way. Now, as you know, I've been sharing that I've been studying a lot about quantum physics lately. You may wonder why the preacher's studying quantum physics. Well, the preacher's a little crazy, but it's fascinating because what it says in quantum physics is that everything is connected in some way, no matter if it's an inch apart or 100 million light years apart. There's an instant connection between things. And I truly believe that. I think that those I love and those that love me are connected to me, that I'm able to see what they see and feel what they feel in a way that God is allowing me to do. Now, we have ways around this day and age with our young people. We can put trackers on their phone and we can follow them and know what they're doing. We can know how fast the car was going towards Durham. We can know. We can know where they stopped. And of course, that may be, once again, violating. I do not know. It may be a sin. But if I'm paying the bill, guess what? The app's going to be on the phone. And my love for them is not bound or it's not loosened by such a concern because I want my children to know that their daddy loves them and he will go to any lengths he needs to let that love be whole. We are bound together. It is our common bond. Now, for some reason, children think they got to get loose of that bond. They start getting these ideas of independence. It's my life, and I'm going to do it my way, and the whole bit. And I totally understand. I understand what that is, but never forget you're part of something greater. It doesn't always necessarily mean the ones that you are part of a relationship with, but it means the ones who love you truly in your heart, the true family. The family of God is the true family. God is concerned and he's worried about us. He's very concerned, so he's come up with a plan that what we need to do, instead of being apart and thinking somehow we can solve this ourselves, we need to come together more. The church doesn't need to not come together. It needs to come together more. See, he says here in this scripture, he says that we need to know that none of us lives to himself alone and none of us dies to himself alone. Sisters and brothers, we are connected to one another. And that connection goes beyond just being close in proximity. That connection is a matter of the heart. It's one of the things that drives people to do what they do is they look to be loved and they want to be loved and they'll turn anywhere to be loved. But the reality is the world will never extend you love. It will only extend you lust. It will only extend you separation. The world will separate you from truly who loves you. So young people, when you go off and you live your life, you remember the love of Spring Hill. You remember the love of those that are with you today and the family that has gathered around you. Never forget these moments. They're few. Oh, I used to think they'd last forever. I thought I had that Norman Rockwell, you know, Thanksgiving picture. You know the beautiful picture, Norman Rockwell, and there's the turkey, and it's got the smiling father and all the family there. He had this realistic way that he could draw, he could paint, and I always thought there'd be opportunities. But I want you to know, I have no place anymore to go. Me and Leona are the place for our family at Thanksgiving. Our parents are gone to heaven. They're gone to God. We no longer have the homestead that we had and the place on the ground that we could claim. That's gone to other family members. We are like ships that have been put out to the ocean. Our home is across the sea. And the wind, it blows us there. And that's where we're going. So how can we be together if we are apart? That is a big question. How can we be together if we are apart? If we're not just apart physically, but spiritually and mentally and psychologically, what can we do to a child who's gone their own way instead of the way that we feel like they need to go or the way of God? How can we live in a world that's so separated as it is? That's a big question. What do we do? Do we let them go off on the plane and everybody cries in the car? Yeah, that's what we do. That's what we do. Our heart's broken. Sisters and brothers, I'm the inventor of the internet. It's not the same thing. It's not the same thing. There is no intimacy on the internet. Oh, people claim, oh, there is, and I have pillow talk with somebody, and I have friends with somebody. That's not the same. Do not lose sight of what it means to be close to somebody. And he's saying here in this scripture, God is speaking to us, we do not live alone. So seek the relationship with God so you can be together in the gospel with God and gather together. Now, as we continue this process, we have to look at how do we go this gatherness where we're together and now we gather together. What is this process of drawing in that God does with us? Well, he draws us in with the bell. We ring the bell. The chimes ring. The community hears and they gather. That's the nature of the church, is that we ring the bell. And across this great land, years ago, there used to be bells in every belfry, and they would ring the bell, and the community would hear it, and they would come together because they knew the time had come. We even did it for our meals. We had an eating bell. It was usually a cowbell up on the porch, and people were in the fields, and they were farming. And so the mother would go out, or the ones that were making the home, and they would ring the bell, and then everybody would come to get the food. See, the gathering together usually has a sign, a symbol. Sisters and brothers, I can tell you that God is ringing that bell now for us to come together. He wants us to be together now, especially now, because the worries of the world are so much. I don't think we're smart enough to handle what we're throwing on ourselves. We have given things in the name of freedom that have only been bondage. We have allowed things to happen that's led our culture astray. We somehow think we can have it all. And we can't. The truth is, no person is an island unto themselves. The people that I've seen the most selfish in my life are the people who are the most miserable. They're the worst sinners. They're the people that are up there in the prisons that I used to do prison ministry in, and all they cared about was their self. So what we did down in Tabor City is we raised money to help build what we called a Jubilee home, that where their family members can come and stay when they would come visit the prisoners down at the Tabor Correctional Institute when I started the prison ministry there. And so we helped build a house that the family members can stay and see these people inside. Maybe a few of them know it, but most of them do not, that their children are impacted by this incarceration, that their spouses are hurt by what's taking place. See, we need to gather together because when we come together, Christ rises up in our midst. The better angels of our nature, they take over. What do we do with these family gatherings? Oh, Lord, have mercy. You've never seen nothing like my family gatherings when we used to have those. And we had the aunts and uncles, and we had the cousins, and the children playing, and the food on the table, and we had the storytelling. And I can tell you right now, Leona can testify to it, we Smiths are the biggest storytellers there's ever been. We get together, and my granddaddy could tell a story, and you'd be on the edge of your seat wondering what's going to happen next. And then my uncle would get into his stories, and then my father would get into his stories, and I would listen to all these things while I was eating a biscuit and enjoying myself. Nothing like it with a bunch of lying Smiths telling stories. Amen. Now, we didn't call it lying. We called it embellishment and storytelling, the ability to spin a yarn, to tell a story. See, but the gospel isn't about a lie. The gospel is the truth. We come together and we talk about what really has happened. So let's look at what has happened in my short time here at this church. God has saved a soul, a body, right? Anthony? If God hadn't have been involved, it would have been a different story. But God, he saved because strength was provided and understanding was provided. This is a walking miracle right here. I could start picking some of you out in this crowd because you made it through some things, some hospitals. I've seen you in there trying to figure out what's going on, and they're poking you and they're prodding you. As a preacher, I used to just go to the hospital when I first started ministry, and I'd go from room to room to room, and they don't let you do that anymore. They got rules now, and they got privacy rules. I'd go in and look at their chart. I'd pick up their chart and go, I didn't know that was wrong with you, and they'd look at me. They changed rules. In fact, they may have changed them just because of me, that old nosy preacher. I loved to visit the Baptists because they would really entertain me. And then they'd find out I was a Methodist preacher and they wouldn't tell me anything else. See, I enjoy knowing in the gathering what's going on. How are things going for you? How's it going? I know it's been hard. I know it's been lonely. I know it's been tough. I know some days it's real hard, especially when your heart is broken. I know it's hard some days because what we thought we had planned didn't quite work out. But in spite of all that, or really beyond all that, God is able to work out his plan. And his plan is a greater plan that not only do we come together, but we gather in the common word of Jesus, which is love. And he said, for this reason, Christ died and returned to life so that he might be the Lord of both the dead and the living. So then he gets to us that when we gather together, for some reason, we naturally judge each other. And he says, you then, why do you judge your brother? Why do you look down on your brother? For we all stand before the judgment seat of God. This judgment is ruining our culture. People judging people even before they speak right now. People looking at people and instantly making, I can tell you what's caused this. Hollywood's caused this. And vanity has caused this. It used to be that a handshake was good enough. Richard Petty. Some of you know Richard Petty. Some of you drive like Richard Petty, so you got to know Richard Petty. Richard Petty has had a deal with Tyson Foods for years. It was done with a handshake. You know, those of you that follow NASCAR, you follow racing, Tyson will no longer sponsor Richard Petty. And he says that he shook their hand about a month ago for the deal, and now Tyson has decided that they were going to go with another racer, and they said there weren't a handshake, and Richard Petty says there was a handshake. Now, who am I going to believe? Now, I really like Tyson Foods because some of Tyson Foods' people funded a ministry I did up at Lake General Lusco. One of the family members gave money and funded in a major way what I did for 10 years in the church when I built the digital websites and all that for the church. But what some of you don't know is Tyson got sold out to a company in China a while back. So it's not what it used to be. And so Richard Petty was given a handshake for people that want a contract. Now, which way do you think God works? Does God want a contract with you to be in relationship with you? Or does he want a handshake? See, the scripture is clear that when we gather together, that's where Christ will rise up. As surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me, every tongue will confess to God. This scripture is really talking about when we come together, our relationship with God is not on equal terms. We are not coming to God where we're somehow equal with God. We are not gods, no matter what we may think. If you want to know somebody who thinks they're a god, did you know that plants are named after that crazy man in North Korea? Stars are named after him? Children every day have to chant his name? He is a living God with those people. And that's why they're being trained to kill. That's why the world is as close as it's ever been to an apocalyptic scene. That's why every night I don't even hardly sleep waiting for news that maybe she's gotten out of that other place, South Korea. See, you want to know what a God looks like, and I'll show you what the earth always produces, a Caesar, a Nero, someone who is evil. See, we do not bow down to earthly creatures. We bow down to God. So then each of us will give an account of himself to God. And that's what happens when we gather together, is we're accountable with one another. That's why some people are avoiding the church, is they don't want to be accountable to the church or ultimately accountable to God. See, God wants us to be accountable to him, so we cannot just answer for what we've done wrong, but to celebrate what we're doing right. And God wants us to live our lives where we stop passing judgment, he says, on one another. Instead, make up your minds not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in your brother's way. And we are the people who are to open the doors and the hearts and the minds for a world that is troubled. The church of this century has to find a way through all the clutter and all the noise to let the clear gospel speak out so people will know that we are a people who truly care, because God has called us to be a people who care with one another. And so if we'll go to the next slide, we'll see that God is calling us to live in this forever, ever process. He wants us to see this relationship is forever. Even though I'm separated by body, I'm able to be forever connected to those that love me and I love them. Let's look at that for a minute. Do you think love just disappears? Is it a chemical reaction, an infatuation? Is it adrenaline released? Is it just something that's temporary? If it is, it's the worst of all curses. Because if it is, it means we stake so much on something that has no meaning and no lasting effect. Sisters and brothers, love is not so easily stopped or quenched. Love cannot be broken by these temporary natures of life. Oh, I know people say, I fell in love, I fell out of love. Or they take a flower, he loves me, she loves me, he loves me not, she loves me not. You ever done that with a flower? See, love is not defined by a flower. It's not just a state of heart. It's a state of mind and it's a state of being. And most of all, love, it never dies. True love is always there. Well, somebody would say, well, there's nobody out there for me. Nobody out there for me. Nobody's ever going to love me. And I'm saying, why would you say that? Why would you say that somehow there's nobody out there for me? Is God not working a plan? Does he have not something wonderful in store for you? Are you part of God's kingdom or not? Don't you realize you are not alone? That is not God speaking to you. That is the persuader of the other side trying to say you're alone. See, that's always what happens. Even for the wild elk in Africa, what the lions do is they separate one away from the herd, the pack. And if they can get one separated, they can take them down. What do you think always we're being tried? It's an attempt to separate us from the pack. The truth is, we are stronger together than we are apart. That's why I've always loved team sports, is that they have the ability to teach a young person that we need each other, and quarterbacks know this, or if they don't, they're not smart. Because the simple fact about it, somebody makes you mad and a lineman gets upset at the quarterback, all a lineman's got to do is just sit there and let that 300-pound guy run right by him and level that quarterback. We need each other. We need the team. And that's what he's saying, is that this motto is forever. We're not going to our individual heaven. I'm not going to have my own little heaven that's going to be my heaven. It's not going to be my man cave. Now, how many men have a man cave? I try to have a man cave, but every time I do, Leona takes over my man cave. She cleans my man cave. She makes my man cave have pretty things in it. It ruins my man cave. just ruins it. I don't like what-me-nots and purities and little fragile things. My Lord, I moved them all these years preaching, and every time I do, one of them breaks. I just, give me some, just something that's solid, and if it breaks, it's meant to break, and it's not going to be put back together. I don't believe in Gorilla or super glue. It does not work. Things break, you toss them away. See, there's no heaven just for me. We don't each have our brand of heaven where we go in and one of them's got Duke decorations or state decorations or Carolina decorations. I know that sounds like a good idea now, and I maybe could sell it, but I'm not going to push that product because that's not true. Heaven is where, guess what, we're going to be. We're going to be all together. All together. So if you can't get along with them here, then how are you going to get along with them there? So you better learn here how to get along with them, because if not, you're going to be stuck with them eternity up there, and God's not going to let you go off to your own place. He's going to say, you're going to be right here with them and most of all with me. See, let us stop passing judgment. Do you honestly think in heaven one set of angels is going to be going, that other set of angels over there, they don't sing as good as we do, or their halo is not as shining as ours is? Or we don't even want to kind of look at Jerome and his set of angels because they can't sing at all. See, heaven is not a place of judgment. This judgment is an earthly thing. Did you know in college I was High Court Chief Justice? I was the judge in college my senior year. I held all the other positions except president of the student government, but they elected me the Supreme Court Justice. I had my justices I handpicked among all the students, and I picked the most, you know, just the most qualified. And we had trials, and the dean would bring these students who had violated trials to us. And I remember my senior year, there was some poor old guy. He was from up north somewhere, Maryland or something like that. And he had violated something because he had kicked a door in. He got mad. I don't know what happened other than the details of the trial. And he kicked the door in, and we're sitting there sitting in judgment on him. And he's sitting there, and he's going, well, you don't have any power over me. And I said, man, I said, you don't even know the half of it. I said, I can recommend you be expelled, and you will be expelled. He said, well, who do you think you are? And I told him I was a High Court Chief Justice. And I said, you done met the judge. Now, you have to understand, one of my heroes is Judge Roy Beam of the Old West. You know, the West of the Pecos. And I figured if they come to see me, they already in trouble. And I said to him, I said, you got a simple choice. Either you're going to make amends and you're going to apologize. And the dean's saying, well, Jerome, we can't really make them. And I said, yeah, we can. He's got to apologize to the people he upset that broke their door. And then he's got to pay for it. And all the justices, they agree, and they're saying, that sounds fair, and we pass judgment, and he's muttering, he's not going to do it. But we told him, if you don't, we're going to recommend you're expelled, and you're going to be out of here. Well, I had hoped that he would see the error of his way. I had hoped that he would see he had violated, but he didn't. And so I wrote the paper, and I recommended just expulsion, and he got kicked out of school. Now, I'm an older man now, and I told you there's things I'm sorry about. I just didn't hurt him, or we didn't as the court. We hurt that family because they trusted the school to help their son. I've thought about it through the years of how we pass judgment, and sometimes even when we're the ones to do it, we have to realize that it can have consequences. I can tell you as a pastor, I've dealt with people who say they won't come back to a church because of something that has happened, that their heart has been broken or somehow someone has violated a sacred trust with them. Sisters and brothers, we cannot win their hearts if we enter into a world of judgment this century. But the other side of that is we can't just look the other way. We have to see the truth and speak it with great love. What you heard last Sunday was said in love. It was said totally in love. There are shall nots that should not be allowed, but there are shalls that God wants us to do, and he wants us to love one another. And he says that instead, make up your minds not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in your brother's way. Let us pray for the souls that are no longer part of Spring Hill, that God may lead them and guide them, that they can find a place to be fed, they can find a place to be nurtured. But sisters and brothers, we do not need to lose sight that we are gathered together in the name of Jesus. Let us pray. Dear Lord, as we gather here, we know that every knee shall bow and tongue shall confess. We come to you humbly and meekly and ask you grant us mercy and favor. Lord, be with the world that does not understand, that they may understand the gospel and its truth. Lord, we pray that we find the way to open the door and open the heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.